more to talk about. And then maybe next week, again, the suggestion was made to speak a little bit about the worldview of the Mesilas Yesharim, and maybe to contrast it, my idea is to contrast it a little bit with the worldview of the Nefesh HaChaim and the Isha Halacha a little bit. Again, Judah and I were talking about a little bit earlier, not that these are, you know, mutually exclusive or, you know, contradictory, Chas V'Shalom, but the different emphases, I think, are instructive and interesting. Either way, you know, like the Mesilas Yesharim says in his Hakdama, you know, some things, you know, Dafka need to be, you know, repeated because, you know, they're so basic, or we consider them so basic that we then take them for granted. And they're actually the things that sometimes get lost. So maybe we'll spend a few weeks. Again, I don't know how long we'll do it, but that's that was one of the suggestions that was made. Maybe we'll try to begin with that, hopefully, next week. But for today, I wanted to continue a little bit more with the discussion of the Akedah that we began last week. We spoke already about the centrality of the event itself, its impact, both as schar, on the one hand. This, of course, contrary to the position of the Rashbam, I should also mention, Hashem Nisas Abraham, the Rashbam says the opposite, that it was a kind of an onesh, or the Agmas Nefesh of the Akedah was an onesh, given the Krisas Bris and Avimelech, you know, which may have compromised a part of Eretz Yisrael. But of course, that's a, you know, pretty much an anomalous view. By and large, the Akedah is viewed as an event which was an occasion for schar, and even more than that, the effect or the establishment of certain major midos that continued to impact on Klal Yisrael, the Dorei Doros, implanting a critical attitude, a critical perspective of emuna and of yira, tzivui Hashem, the Dorei Doros, and particularly in Klal Yisrael, in the world unquestionably, but especially in Klal Yisrael. Again, the Gemara in Gittin, Daf and Zayin, and Aleph, when it tells the story of Chana and her seven children and the ultimate sacrifice that she made. So, again, Ata Akadata, referring to Avraham Avinu, Mizbeach Echad Vani Sheva Mizbechos. This idea that the Akedah, in tragic circumstances, was an inspiration, you know, for other acts of Mesiras Nefesh. And the Chassam Sofer has a drasha also in which he speaks about this idea that Klal Yisrael were transformed, and as their capacity for sacrifice and for bitachon and for emuna was transformed by the Yotzam and Akoach El Apoal. Avraham Avinu always had it in him, but the fact that he was, you know, made to actually experience the Akedah, so the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't just know that he had it in him, but that that impacted on Klal Yisrael. And that, again, the Ramban emphasizes this perspective very much so. Again, for the Rambam in Mordechuchim, you know, the Akedah is more about Pirsum. And for the Ramban, it's more about the actual impact of the experience on Avraham Avinu. Because, again, there's still a difference between Koach and Poal. And for, you know, some of the Midrashim and then some of the other Mefarshim, it goes even beyond that. It's the Yotzam and HaKoach al HaPoal, which has its impact on Bnei Avraham Avinu in terms of their special capacity. The Abarbanel, for example, says that all of Klal Yisrael was transformed at the moment of the Akedah, and that you know, what we say about mankind generally, Bnei Noach, you know, in the aftermath of the Mabul, Rak Yetzer Lev Adam Rak Ra Min Urav, that was kind of neutralized by the Akedah, which is a powerful statement by the Abarbanel. All of that, Ate Yadati Kirei Elokim Ata V'lo Chasachta Asbincha As Yechidecha. So this impact is, you know, the second, I guess, aspect in addition to Schar that results from the Akedah. And the third, of course, is the establishment of individual and collective credentials, what we spoke about last week, that enable a wide-ranging and a complex and ambitious religious agenda. The idea that so we can understand all of the complexities of Avraham Avinu's life in light of his ability to rise to the occasion in the Akedah. And that's what the Medrash undoubtedly means when it talks about Kriyas Yamsuf and the ability to withstand the Galus and the propriety of Hanaba Lamazet, these aren't skar alone, they are the cause and effect. They're, once you have an Akedah as part of the worldview of your life, once you have a Yom Kippur in your Moadim, once you have a Korban Ola in your Karbanos, so then that transforms the way that you look at everything else. And that's the true impact. That allows for, you know, everything else. It allows for the Chatzi Lachem, Chatzi Lashem, for Yimei Chol, and for everything that comes with it. And as an event, the Akedah served that function. Yitzhak Avinu was the Ola Tamima. Again, the role of the Akedah on Yomim Noraim is so pronounced, unquestionably, also because of that. Then we also discussed last time another perspective on the Akedah, closely connected, and that is the dialectic of it being both a unifying and a diverse experience. A unifying experience by Yechu Shneim Yachtav, in which, you know, both Avram and Yitzchak overlappingly experience the same thing, but it also cemented or bonded, you know, their actual relationship. In both sense, it was a unifying experience. At the same time, it was a diverse experience. It had to be, because they were two different people, two different ages. They experienced it differently, and they were also in two different positions. One was the shochet, and the other one was the karban. And notwithstanding those differences, which are amplified by the Medrash, namely, who had, you know, hesitations, was it Avram or Yitzchak, and at which point? Yitzchak starts off with greater bravado, according to the Medrash, and then has moments of, you know, of reticence. Avram Avinu starts off with reticence, you know, but his resolve, let's say, intensifies as he goes forward. That's all very fascinating, has much to do with personality, experience, age, and the different roles that each one play. But the fascinating thing is that while that has to be true, it is true and it's important, at the same time it's still Vayochu Shneim Yachtav. With all the differences, and it becomes more significant because of the differences, it's still a bonding relationship and it's still an overlapping relationship. And in that sense, it's a paradigm for the world of Torah generally, for Mishpat Echad Yehalachem on the one hand, and for Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, you know, Kol Echad V'Echad, the idea that you know, there is a certain, you know, uniformity in the world of halacha, right? And that's critical. That doesn't allow for the presence of a Zaken Mamre. A Zaken Mamre will be, you know, put to death because he threatens to fragment, you know, that uniformity and that unity, which is so crucial. Kal Yisrael is an organic, you know, unit, and that's a basis for many things. Kal Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, many other things. Even Taryag Mitzvos, you know, requires this organic, you know, approach. And at the same time, it has to be l'kol echad b'echad. It's an organic unity which is enhanced by the diversity of its individuals. Every individual has to be able to find his own expression. And doing that, of course, is extremely challenging. And events like the Akedah, you know, highlight that it can and must be done. It's vayechu shneim yachtav, even though it's echad, you know, la'akod ve'echad li'akod, with everything that the Medrash and the Mefarshim, you know, establish to underscore the differences. And this is particularly highlighted by the impact of the Akedah on Abraham and Yitzchak. And this dialectic of, you know, Masorah, despite differences, or in some cases, that leave the participants unaware of the differences that seem so obvious, you know, to detached, objective observers. Again, Avraham Avinu returns vayhi achar advar ma'ela, vayhi achar advar ma'ela, as we mentioned last time, to regular life, and Yitzchak is defined by the experience of the Akedah forever. Vayelchus shneim yachtav, that's his perception of his father. In my reading of it, Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holding this Yitzchak, and it affects his entire persona. The Chazal see him as the Ola Tamima, and they see the Akedah as, you know, having formed his entire religious persona. Again, the Medrash, Rabbeinu Bechaye specifically amplifies this, said that he didn't return after the Akedah. Avram Avinu returns right after the Akedah. He goes back to re-enters life, even the humdrum of life, because it's just another episode. based on his previous experience, his age, his personality, and everything else. But for Yitzchak, you know, this is it. This is the defining event, defining experience of his life. And he is absent in the narrative of the Torah for 3 years, according to the Medrash. Rabbeinu B'chai Yisai amplifies it. He misses his mother's funeral, according to this perspective. That's Rabbeinu B'chai particularly accentuates. This is his mother, one could add, you know, to whom he was exceptionally devoted, right? Chazal, you know, explain again when he finally meets Rivka and he brings Rivka into the Ohel of Sarah, how devoted he was to his mother, and yet he's not there at this moment of her funeral. How could the son be absent? How could a devoted son be absent? This is the devoted son who the mother, you know, was willing to protect, even at the expense of, you know, to some extent, family unity. She protects him by sending away Ishmael. How could he not be at her funeral? But according to those Mefarshim, you know, Yitzchak is still in the aftermath of the Akedah. And he only returns Mibo Labe'er Lachai Roi, right, which the Medrash says is bring Hagar to Abraham, which is the ultimate act, of course, of Gevurah. Here's the devoted son, right? His mother sent away Hagar and Yishmael to protect him. He's not even able to attend her funeral. And then he's going to be the one to approve of or to encourage, to take the initiative, you know, to make sure that his father can continue with his life. With who, of all people? With Hagar. According to that view of the Medrash, it's just an incredibly dramatic step for Yitzchak to take. But it's the step, it's an Akedah step, it's a self-sacrificing step. It's the Midah of Gevura. That's who Yitzchak is. It's about suppressing his own needs, his own desires, you know, for sacrificing for the sake of his father, by extension, for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And his relationship with Rivka is obviously quite different than Avram's relationship with Sarah. We see that without analyzing it more fully from the very, very beginning, right? Batipol me'ala gamal. She sees him as some sort of charismatic figure. He doesn't even see her at all, practically. She doesn't register at all. Until, you know, she establishes her spiritual credentials, then he's able to bring her into Ohel Sarah. Right, that self is fascinating. And all this is an Akedah type. Rivka's response to Yitzchak is a function of his being an Akedah personality, and his response to her, and the way that he recognizes her, is, you know, this larger than life, also informed by the Akedah. Unquestionably, this impacts his awareness of and relationship to his children. Again, the big Pella. You know, in this coming week's parsha, which is how could, you know, Esav not have seen Yitzchak not have seen who Esav was and who Yaakov was? But I always try to explain it, and I think it's based on some of the Midrashim at least, that you know, Yitzchak again as the Akedah personality, you know, was looking for somebody who was bigger than life, somebody who, you know, had the capacity to make that kind of a sacrifice, and Esav from the moment of his birth. Was a persona dramatis. He was just born with a full head of hair, shocking red hair. You know, he was obviously very precocious. Even the seemingly absurd questions that he asked, you know, reflected a kind of bigger than life, you know, kind of personality. And Yaakov was nechbal akelim, you know, yoshev ahalim, an ishtam, and. Yitzchak was, you know, looking for an Akedah personality, and he didn't see that initially in Yaakov. He only saw that in Esav. Later on, by Acharad Charada Gadola Miod, when he understands, you know, what the Ishtam have to do to overcome his own personality, to take steps to secure the legacy of Klal Yisrael, and then he realized, you know, how wrong he was in applying the standard. Or in establishing that this is the primary standard. So that shook Yitzchak's worldview. But again, the Medrash, which says that you know, that Yitzchak was blind because of the, you know, the tears of the Malachim at the time of the Akedah, is just a beautiful symbolic Medrash, right, which is basically saying that the Akedah, the experience of the Akedah, the aftermath of the Akedah, you know, blinded Yitzchak to certain things. And it's not a criticism, it's just a comment. It just says something about who he was. So on the one hand, you have Yitzchak, and you would think that he could be more different than Avraham Avinu in his character. At the same time, as we know, the few episodes that we do have, you know, in the Torah about Yitzchak, are all Yitzchak replaying or trying to replay the life of Avraham Avinu. And that's a powerful thing, too. Despite the fact that he is so different, right? The first principle in Yitzchak's life is Eilu Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham Holidus Yitzchak. He sees himself as his father's son. He may have a different view of his father, but that is less important than his devotion to the notion of Mesorah. And we may think it's so radically different, but as radically different as it is, that only makes more impressive his allegiance to this notion of Mesorah and, you know, walking in his father's footsteps. So it's Elokei Abraham, it's Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We celebrate the diversity of the Avos. We're enriched by each one having his own separate Elokei. It's not Elokei Avram Yitzchak VeYaakov. Avram Lechud and Yitzchak Lechud and Yaakov Lechud. And of course, the big issue in Yaakov is precisely, you know, the combination of Avraham and Yitzchak. Pachad Yitzchak and Elokei Avicha Avram. Yaakov has to develop in different times of his life according to these different principles. But having said that, it's, you know, each one separate, and the sense of Mesorah, you know, that connects each and every one of them as well. Daniil read the question last time about the impact on Sarah of the Akedah, and this too is quite interesting. I responded very quickly then. I'll just add a couple of words about it now. Again, Rashi says that Sarah died, you know, out of the shock of the Akedah. It's based on the Medrash. The Medrash is quite, Medrash Rabbah at least, is very succinct, very curt on the matter. But there are other Midrashim that go into greater detail. The way that Rashi seems to project it is that Sarah was, you know, suffered the shock of thinking that Yitzchak in fact was Ne'akat. Actually, some of the Mefarshim say there really was an Akedah, there really was a sacrifice, and the sacrifice was Sarah in a certain sense. But the question, of course, arises, you know, why such a different response from Sarah than the response from Avraham Avinu? And there could be different answers to this question, the difference between a father and a mother, maybe. Of course, the question is couched sometimes by noting that Sarah Imenu, no less than Avraham Avinu, was an Ovedes Hashem and a great Nevi'ah. According to some sources, even a greater Nevi'ah than Avraham was a Navi. Some sources. Kol Asher Tomar, Sarah Shema Bekola. I don't know whether that means that she was a greater Nevi'ah in general, but certainly she was a person who, you know, was on a very high Madrega. So she couldn't appreciate, she couldn't abide, you know, the Nisayon of the Akedah. So there's some technical answers that are given to this question that I've seen over the years. You know, the difference between, you know, breaking it to you, Bincha, Yechidcha, you know, Asher Ahavta, Es Yitzchak, you know, there are like rules of, you know, assimilating, you know, tragedy or assimilating bad news. You know, there are like the five steps of coming to grips with tragedy. What is it, Kubler-Ross? You know, you have to sometimes go slow. You can't spring things on people all at once, and when you do, it's a totally different type of experience. People have to have the capacity to absorb, you know, the blow, to cope with it, to put it in a spiritual context, etc. Sarah didn't have that. She wasn't part of the process. No one said to her, "Es bincha, es yechidcha, es rahavta, es yitzchak," and not only because it was her only son, but the point is that she heard about it, and moreover, being an insider and you know, being involved is different than hearing about it from the outside. You know, some people might think it's worse. It's worse and it's better, but it's different. And the coping mechanism of, you know, being involved in a process, even a extremely difficult process, is different than just, you know, the sense of helplessness and just detachment from it you know, and yet it's a tragedy, which touches your lives. And I think those are very important ideas. That's, of course, one kind of approach, just that the circumstances were different. The relationships were different, the circumstances were different in various ways, etc. With again, Avraham Avinu was a several-day process. It was Vayar Samokom Merachok, and so on. But there are other suggestions as well. The Ksav Sofer, for example, says that what really killed Sarah was the fact that she felt excluded from the opportunity of the Mesiras Nefesh and Kiddush Hashem. Or that she felt that the fact that she wasn't previously informed reflected, you know, that there wasn't the kind of confidence that she could achieve this kind of, you know, madrega. Again, I think that's a typical Ksav Sofer type of perspective, but I think it's a really interesting one. The Medrash, I think, says it a little bit more moderately. Again, one view in the Medrash says that the shock to Sarah, this is what I referred to last week, was not that, you know, her sense that Yitzchak, you know, was killed, or her shock that Avraham Avinu was willing to go through with it, even if he didn't, but on the contrary, she heard that there was an obligation to do so, you know, that there was a tzivui Hashem to do the Akedah, and she knew that Yitzchak was alive. So the real shock was, is it possible that Avram and Yitzchak, you know, were not compliant with Dvar Hashem? And that created a misa pitomit, like a shock that she was not able to recover from. So, again, I think there are different perspectives, but the question of Sarah is an intriguing question. Finally, I want to zero in on the Drosha Saran. Yeah.
Another possibility, I think, is that this is the last time Sarah appears in the Torah. Her words are Garisha Samazos Vespinak, Hilo Yurash Benamazos, Ibidi Yitzchak.
Right.
That's the last time she appears. So, in the context of telling Avraham, you have to choose and it's got to be Yitzchak.
Right.
And Avraham initially complies, but she knows Vayera Devar Melech Bene Avraham. And I think that might be a factor, as she thinks that Avraham had reversed course.
Very good. I like it very much. Very good, Hara. And finally, I just wanted to mention the last point, and that is that the Akedah, you know, represents, in addition to all these other elements that we've just discussed, but it highlights the theme of self-sacrifice and, you know, what we'll call the demanding complexity of Avodas Hashem in a more general way. Again, this is a very important theme in the Rav's writings. Again, there's a famous footnote in The Lonely Man of Faith, and it's a leitmotif in all of his writings, where he writes, you know, that especially in the modern era, you know, people tend to look at religion as something which is very tranquil and very calming, you know, which brings, you know, only joy and, you know, and comfort, you know, to one's life. And certainly that's an aspect of religion, you know, but there are perspectives on religion which this is the exclusive focus, and that's the selling point of religion. If you read William James's Varieties of Religious Experience, you know, he's, you know, tries to, you know, to describe the gamut, but this is like a huge theme, you know, in that work of people's experiences and this, you know, sense of calm and you know, things that, you know, neutralize any kind of, you know, anxiety or concern or worry, take everything that is tumultuous. It's either mysticism, which is inherently tumultuous, or more standard religion, you know, which has used the norm to kind of tranquilize, you know, and to you know, to bring only, you know, inspiration and, you know, succor, the two C's, you know, into people's lives. And that's a very big theme, and the Rav writes, you know, in many places very strongly about this point, that, you know, Yadus sees you know, the relationship with the Ravona Shalom as sometimes a tumultuous one, and it's one in which, you know, man is great demands are made on individuals and on Klal Yisrael. It isn't easy to be a religious person, and, you know, if you expect Avodas Hashem to be nothing but, you know, this safe haven and this, you know, happy and peppy kind of you know, bubble, you know, then people are going to be disappointed, because that isn't what Yahadus is. Yahadus addresses the range of man's feelings, and it makes excessive demands on individual as well. So for the Rav, the Akedah, you know, is a very important theme. It's a very important theme because it highlights, you know, this idea of demand and tumultuousness and torture in some case. When the Rav speaks about the Akedah in a few places, so he emphasizes not that, you know, Avraham Avinu was ecstatic with the opportunity. You know, he was, but mostly, or put it this way, if he was, it didn't neutralize the sense of anguish and pain and suffering and imminent loss, you know, that he felt. In other words, he knew that he couldn't replace Yitzchak. He knew that it would be an irrevocable loss, that would be a pain, you know, which he would never, from which he would never overcome. And the point is that he was willing to do it anyway. It was a tzivui Hashem, and that overrides everything, and a certain sense of faith in the Rabbeinu Shalom's tzedek, the ability to suspend one's own interests, one's own emotions, and as we spoke of last week, to surrender one's own sense of rationality even, you know, both internally and in terms of your understanding of the Rabbeinu Shalom. All that is part of the Akedah. But instead of that being something that you come to, you know, with a sense of ecstasy alone, or even ecstasy at all, you know, it's the full pain and the full sense of suffering and tortuousness. And that's why for the Rav, the Akedah is really a pivotal, as for everybody. But that's the reason, you know, or one of the reasons that it plays such a pivotal role. And that's why, I just thought I'd add, the theme of self-sacrifice, batel ritzon chal ritzono, you know, again, both in action as well as in mentality, and everything else, the sense of tumultuousness and torture, you know, and nonetheless, you know, Bayashkim Avraham Aboker, and this reason, you know, not because you see it in a different way only, but because Tzivui Hashem overrides it. I think in that sense, the Drashas Haran approach, which I mentioned last week, which is that Avraham Avinu had a choice, and that it wasn't a chiyuv, it was a request, it was a bakasha. I think, you know, on the one hand, that's, you know, extremely dramatic, and it really highlights, again, the sense of Abba that is involved in the Akedah. It's an extreme view, but it's a very critical and important point of view. But at the same time, I think it's not the standard view, and the point I wanted to make was that from a certain perspective, the Akedah is even more impressive when it's a tzivui than it is when it's a rishos. Again, the idea of the drasha is, I just wanted to read it because it is a dramatic view. It's in the sixth drasha, towards the end. V'amnam yitameit shemi she'ishena la ve'emes liyos nishon nichnas ba'ovi akora ba'avodosa yisparach she'yasa ma'isa yosa rachok min ha'teva v'yorel ha'yosa nishan la Hashem yisparach be'emes.
It's
fascinating. The Drash Saran is also trying to solve the other problem. Maybe isn't this a stira in the Rabbanu Shalom's tzivui? Rabbanu Shalom said, "Ki b'yitzchak yikar lechazara." So Avraham Avinu had the right to say to him, you know, this is a stira, what you told me. Why should I listen to you now and oppose what you told me earlier? V'zeh loshan ha-kosuv kach es bincha u'kvar noda shezeh ha-maimer eino loshan tzibui en loshan bakasha sheher lo sheyita be'ina v'imimchal Avram al haftachoso v'yakod b'no. It was necessary for Avram Avinu to be mochel. It's a fascinating formulation, right? Ki b'yitzchak yikari l'chazara, right? V'lu haya Avram mishibo hein lilo nasata zera kiim zeh piv tachtani bo ve'ech esa zeh lo nechshav lo uzo ve'lo yasigenu onesh mizeh. It wouldn't be presumptuous, he wouldn't have been punished, he would have the right to say this. Afa p'chein legodel ha'avaso es Hashem Yisbarach matzos levavo la'akto k'nei sheyasa chepetz Hashem Yisbarach levad v'zeu inyan ha'akeda v'soda. He says that's the pshat in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says Amar Rav Abba Bar Avid B'Shem Rav Yochanan Amar Avram Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shalom Golev Yadu Lefanecha Shabashosh Amartli Lahalos Es Yitzhak B'ni Al Gabi Amizbeach Hayalila Hashiv Lomar Omer Sli Kibi Yitzhak Yikar Lechazara. Akshava ta omer li haleu leola, chas v'shalom lo asisichein. Aval kivashti es yitzri, lasos ritzoncha. But that part works well, even if it's not just an act of ratza. Then he goes on to say, kama pinos niskaimu b'maisa nechmarazeh, referring to the Akedah. Three pillars of the faith. Harishon, inyan avas Hashem, ad hechani magas, Hashenis, she'en b'nevuas anevim shum safek in ba'inim yito yizbarach. Otherwise, Avram Avinu wouldn't have been so quick to comply if he really wasn't sure that this was an actual nevuah. Vashlishi amunas hahisharus, the idea that schar va'onesh is not just defined by olam hazeh, but that there is a greater reward, or at least a greater meaning in life. But this is the view of the Drashas Haran. Now, Drashas Haran, as we mentioned last week, sees Akedas Yitzhak not so much, or not only as Ate Adati Ki Rei Elokim Ata, but primarily as a function of Avas Hashem, since he had this option. Of course, it also highlights something that I've spoken of in the past, since the Pasuk says Ate Adati Ki Rei Elokim, and according to the Drashas Haran, the primary impetus is really Avas Hashem. So it's again the integration of the Ava and the Yira. Again, the idea of the Drashas Haran is, you know, I don't want to take it too far either, is Avraham Avinu sees this as Ratzon Hashem. It's not like he's looking to do this, but he said the Rosh Hashanah does request it of him. It is still a demand, even if it isn't a binding demand, and even if there's no onesh and total legitimacy in rejecting it, nonetheless, Avraham Avinu embraces it. But I think that, I would say that in modern days, I think my understanding is that I'm not such an expert, but I know at least in one passage, this is also the perspective of Rav Kook, the Akedah is a function not so much of Yiras Hashem, but of Avas Hashem. But I think that this runs a little bit of the danger of diluting the theme that the Rav used to, as I say, project and accentuate. That is, in a certain ironic sense, the Akedah is a greater expression of both faith and of religious commitment if it's a chiyuv, if you don't have a choice, if it reflects a question, if ki b'yitzchak ikari l'chazara is very much on your mind and you don't have any capacity to neutralize it. And if nonetheless one goes ahead with zrizus, and even with a sense of ava, but ava not in the, not being thrilled that you have this opportunity so much as, the details, seeing to the details, as you always should in the context of a tzibui, with a sense of ava, bayashkim avram baboker, ava mekalkelis sashura. But as long as it remains, something in which a yira is the driving force, I think that is a more powerful akedah, and I don't think it's a coincidence that that's exactly what the Torah emphasizes. The Jewish approach in this respect is very different than, as some people characterize it, the Christian, approach. Very much captured, I think I made reference last week very briefly, also just to make another brief reference, to the comments of, Søren Kierkegaard, who in his Fear and Trembling, describes the Akedah as being, an expression of, the absurdity of faith. The idea that there really is a stira between ki b'yitzchak ikari l'chazara and kachas binchas yechidcha asher ahavta. But instead of saying that the tzibui Hashem overrides our lack of understanding, or the ultimate faith is the confidence that despite our lack of understanding, that there is a reconciliation between these two things, albeit a subtle one which we at the moment don't have access to, and our commitment transcends our knowledge and our understanding, which is the Jewish approach, and particularly the approach again that the Rav used to project as even acknowledging the pain and the suffering and the anguish and all of that. The Christian approach is more, again, this semi-mystical idea of the absurd, the idea that you can actually fulfill ki b'yitzchak ikar l'chazara and kachas binchas yechidcha asher ahavta, even if it's literal in the same way. That's the notion of kind of absurdity or paradox, which is given a kind of intrinsic value you know, which I think which Yahadus doesn't really share, but which really is a, I think, a linchpin in Christianity. So I think it's very important when we talk about the Akedah to be able to identify, you know, what about it, you know, is paradigmatic and was impactful in defining the Dori Doros, and what, of course, is not. So whether it's the Yira, which I think is more consistent with the Psukim and with everything else, which I think the Chiyuv and the Yira ends up being, I think, the most powerful expression of the Akedah, or it's, you know, tinged with Ava, again, Ava and Yira being two sides of the same coin, that's still quite different than seeing the Akedah as, you know, kind of an ecstatic, you know, absurdity experience, which Yahadus doesn't really glorify, doesn't see as having, you know, intrinsic meaning at all. So, again, it's just, as we move, you know, onward in the Parshios, the Akedah remains, you know, not only indelibly, you know, imprinted in our memory, but it continues really to impact, you know, the legacy and the history of the Jewish people. And that's, I'd say, the whole, from my point of view, the whole Parshas Toldos, as well as, you know, parts of Vayetze and Vayishlach and the development of Yaakov, really are in the background, you know, of the Akedah. And it's not surprising, I'd say, the Yom Narayim, where we revisit the most formidable and formative, you know, themes of Yahadus, very much center on the schuyos, but not just the schuyos, the capacities, you know, which are reflected by the Akedah. Okay, we'll stop here, and next week we'll start our other